Hallelujah. There is a sermon outline in your bulletin for those of you who would like to follow along. For the most part, we'll stay fairly close to it, but you know us. We always feel free to change things.
Amen. Well, saints, on this 45th anniversary celebration, as you look in the order of your service, what is the title of our message? Investment tips for a healthy church. Amen. But first, let's join our hearts in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Oh, wonderful and gracious and faithful God of all creation. Today, we celebrate you. Oh, you've been faithful. You've been good. You've been true. And we say thank you, Lord. Because of who you are, we worship you today.
Yes, God.
Truly, we've come this far by faith, leaning on you and trusting in your holy word, and you have never failed us yet.
Yes, God.
So help us to keep our eyes focused on you, to keep on pushing on, praying on, pressing on in you, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
And as we hear the preaching of your word this day, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, Lord Jesus. And we ask that you would speak, Lord. Speak.
Yes,
for we, your people, are listening.
Amen.
Oh, and thank you, Lord. We're listening that we might be transformed from the inside out, that we might rise to new levels in you, Lord Jesus. And we give you praise ahead of time in your mighty name, and all your saints join together to say, amen.
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 Well, saints, today we look back and we recognize the 45 years that God has blessed this particular place, formerly known as Glenville Presbyterian Church, today known as Glenville New Life Community Church. And we as your pastors for the past 18 and a half years can look back and say it has been an incredible blessing to be a part of the legacy of this church. When we see the people who have come through these doors and those doors, we know that God has blessed us through the years. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Saints, 45 years after our start, we are a church still seeking to enter into a right relationship with God, to be
equipped
for the ministry of Jesus Christ, to
make a difference in the lives of others.
Amen. We are a church that values our love for God. We love God in this church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A church where men and women, young and old, and all in between serve as co-partners in doing the work of God.
Amen.
And here at Glenville New Life Community Church, we work together. Everybody say together.
Together.
Together as a leadership team in making decisions. We have no qualms about letting the world know that this church believes that Jesus is the only way to God.
Amen.
For he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one come unto the Father except through me. We have no qualms about letting the world know that this church believes that the Bible is the inspired word of God, and that God is in the business of changing people's lives. What do we say here? Jesus on the
inside,
working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Amen. When Jesus comes in, there is going to be a change. Amen.
Saints, we want us to recognize that all churches matter the same to God and are equal in God's sight. Yet we are grateful for this church and the people that God has called to be a part of this church during its 45-year history. Isn't it amazing that before the Egyptians started building the pyramids thousands of years ago, God already had plans for you to be a part of this church?
Thank you, Lord.
Now, that's what
Thank
we
you,
call
Lord.
A little advanced planning. It is amazing how God plans and then invites us to be a part of the process to see if we will work together with him to change a part of the world for the cause of Christ. Now, God has allowed us here a small measure of success in the ministry that he has given us as a church. Let us help you to see what we mean by success in ministry. We'll ask you a sea of questions. And if at the end, when we finish the questions, if you can say, I am among that group, we're going to ask you to stand and give God a measure of praise.
Amen. Here we go, saints. Is there anyone here who's been beaten up by life? Anyone here who's made mistakes in your life? And you have found grace mercy and healing here at Glenville New Life Community Church. Anybody here can say amen to that. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We love you today, Lord. Is there anyone here who had not heard that there was a Holy Spirit? Amen. But now you know there's a Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit lives inside you. And now you know you have spiritual gifts to use for God's glory. Anybody here not know you have spiritual gifts? Amen. To make a difference in the lives of others. Is there anyone here who went through the pain of a divorce, but you found God's love and God's reconciliation here at Glenville New Life that got you through it? Anybody here? Amen. Amen. Amen.
Is there anyone here who came through these doors and didn't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, but now you know Him? Anybody here that didn't know how to pray or what to pray, but because of this church, you become a praying person?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Anyone here needed wisdom or guidance for a decision that you had to make? You came forth and the lay pastors prayed with you and God revealed to you what you were to do or where you were to go and how you were to do it. Hallelujah. Is there anyone here who knows that the God in this place has changed you, amen, from what you used to be? Amen. You're not what you ought to be, but you're getting there. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody here who thought their marriage was not going to make it, but today your marriage is still intact. And it's even getting better.
Hallelujah.
Anybody here who knows what it was like to be addicted to drugs, to alcohol, but you have discovered a God who can heal you?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Well, if you can say any of those things or even more, we're going to ask that you stand on your feet right now and just give God a praise offering. Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you today, Lord. And we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God has been good.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, saints. Thank you, saints.
Now, saints, we see what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will yet do.
Yes, yes.
Who do you know that doesn't need this kind of a God to make a difference in their lives? 45 years of ministry has brought us to a crossroad as a church.
Yes.
You see, we have so enjoyed God's blessings for so long that it just might be possible that we have forgotten that there is a huge group of people who do not know God.
Yes.
And do not know what God has available for their lives. They don't even know it's possible to live differently than what they have. They have never come through the doors of any church, and they have no plans to come to any church anytime soon.
Well, saints, nearly 2,000 years ago, when Jesus walked the face of this earth, Jesus preached good news to a lost people, amen, to a people who were suffering from every kind of disease and sickness and ache and pain. And he looked on the crowd, Scripture tells us, and he had compassion on them. For Scripture says, for they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd.
Why don't you take a journey with us for a moment? Suppose it wasn't Sunday, and you were here in Glenville, and you were walking down the street. What would you see if you lived and you worked here in our community?
Yeah.
Well, if you came at about 2:30 in the afternoon, you would see the youth pouring up and down St. Clair, leaving Glenville High School. Or if you were over there on Parkwood, you'd see them pouring out in FDR in the middle of the street, sometime blocking the way.
Amen.
If you went up East 105th Street and saw guys hanging out on the corner, what would you see? If you drove down some of the streets of our neighborhoods, and some of them got senior citizens buildings, some of them got apartment buildings, some of them have streets with houses where every third house is boarded up, some of them have streets with well-manicured lawns, what would you see? Are you able to see, wow, what an opportunity God has given us? He has blessed us with an abundance of people who need to get saved.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, saints, every now and then, everybody say every now and then.
Now and then.
God sends such a person with eyes to see what Jesus sees.
Amen.
And one such person here at Glenville New Life Community Church was Joseph Lanton. Joseph Lanton was a young man who came to us while he was preparing to become a lawyer. And after graduating from law school, he wanted to work in Cleveland, but he couldn't find a job. So he left, and God opened the door and allowed him to come back to Cleveland. He came back here to Glenville New Life Community Church. He became the president of the Men's Association here. Thank you, Lord, for Joseph.
You know, when Joseph saw the men and the young boys out there on the street corners, Joseph saw what Jesus saw. He saw young fellows who had been harassed by life and were like sheep without a shepherd. And Joseph said, we need to go and get those guys.
Amen.
And that summer, we as men went up and down East 105th Street, up and down St. Clair, to share the gospel with the guys that we were finding on the streets.
Amen. You see, Joseph had a vision to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. And then one night, as he was preparing to come to life sharing, it was a Wednesday evening, unbeknownst to him, he had a blood clot in his leg, and it traveled up his leg and came all the way up to his heart, and he was gone even before we had gathered at life sharing. It was a tremendous loss for us as a church. You see, a part of us as a church slipped away and went home with him. Saints, and as a church, we haven't gone out again as we did to reach those young men out there on 105th Street as we did before Joseph's death. So we need, like Joseph, to see with eyes like Jesus, to want to go out there and to reach and to touch and to bring those who are lost to Jesus Christ. We need the same kind of passion. Everybody say passion. A passionate love for God, a passionate love for one another, and a passionate love for the lost.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, after Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, and he was speaking to the 11 disciples, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.
Thank you, Lord.
And you would have expected the next words to come out of his mouth would have been something like, and now I'm going to knock the living daylights out of Satan, and we're going to put this world in order like it ought to be put in order. But he didn't say anything like that. He said, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations.
Yes.
So Jesus received all this authority and power for us.
Thank you, Lord.
To go and make disciples.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus really expected us to be equipped for ministry. Tell your neighbor, he expected you to go.
He expected you to go. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And saints, Jesus does not tell us that he received all this authority and power for us to just build great and beautiful buildings, for us to just enjoy fellowship with one another, for us to just give an offering and pay somebody else to go out there and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, the crossroads that we face today at Glenville New Life is that, will we go forth and make disciples, hallelujah, for Jesus Christ? You see, the Greek for go here in this text can be translated, as you are going, make disciples. As you are going, make disciples. So saints, how many of us are going somewhere every day? You're going somewhere to the store, to school, to work. You're going somewhere. All right. Well, how many of us are encountering people who have been harassed by life, who've been beaten down, who've had suffering and sorrow in their life? How many of us touch those people every day? Amen. And how many saints of us have knowledge inside of us that could help other people? Amen. But we must choose. And oftentimes, what do? We choose to keep it in. We choose to keep our mouth shut. And there they go, continuing to hurt on.
Do we realize that 90% of the world are facing an eternity without Christ? And who is it that make up these 90%? They're our family members. our friends, our co-workers, our fellow students, people that we speak to day by day, strangers that cross our paths.
Yes.
They are all like sheep without a shepherd. They do not know and they don't even realize they need the God that we serve. And we also know that 90% of us as Christians are unwilling to tell them what God can do in their lives. You see, there are two kinds of churches in the kingdom of God when it comes to lost people.
Yes.
There are those churches that talk about the lost, and they speak of all the sins that those people out there are doing, and the church gets real excited when you start preaching those sermons. If I was up here preaching today about them folks out there on the corner, if they don't change their lives today, God's going to strike them down. Some of y'all, go right on and preach and teach and whatever.
Amen.
And then there are those churches who speak to the lost. They have a compassion on them because they realize they don't have a shepherd.
Amen.
What kind of church do we want to be at Glendale?
Yes. Yes.
Do we want to talk about them or do we want to talk to them?
Amen. Saints, Jesus talked to the lost. Jesus didn't get near him and say, you must have didn't have no.
You guys should put on that
deodorant. Oh. Let me stand over here. You stand. I'll catch the bus, so you stand over there. Jesus didn't get mad at him, saints. He not say to the community, oh, you know what? You need to get off the street. What's wrong with you? Put your hand out and just stop it. Just stop it. He didn't get mad at him. He didn't put people down because, what kind of shoes you got on there? Wow. And how long you been wearing them pants? Jesus didn't put people down, amen. He didn't even talk about their do-rags. He didn't even talk about, all right, brace yourself, those sagging pants, hallelujah. All right, that wasn't the first thing he started talking about. When Jesus saw the lost around him, he immediately thought, oh, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Oh, saints, Jesus had looked at a group of people that moments earlier he had described as harassed and beaten down by life, which means, saints, they were people with all kinds of real problems. You know somebody with some real problems today. All right. Real problems with some bad behaviors. You know somebody with some bad behaviors today and some smelly odors. And Jesus passionately gets excited. Hallelujah. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers in his harvest field. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I want us to think about those last three words she said. Jesus says, send out workers in his harvest field.
Yes.
You see, when we look at our community, we are tempted to say, it's the devil's playground out there. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said it was the Lord's harvest field.
Yes.
The world does not belong to Satan. It is the Lord's harvest field.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And when God established this church 45 years ago, he didn't set up an outpost in the devil's territory. God set up an outpost in his field in order to produce more workers to go back into his vineyard.
Amen.
We need to quit believing the lie that everyone who is under Satan's influence wants to stay there. Many people simply don't know there is an alternative. Stop saying nobody wants to hear the gospel and try telling them to see if they would listen.
Hallelujah.
Stop saying nobody wants to hear the truth, or else you'll start believing that lie and won't even try to tell them the truth.
Amen. Are you among those who say, pastors, I'd love to talk to the lost, but I just don't know how to get started? Well, just touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, excellent news today. Good news today. Good news today.
Good news today.
Good news today. The most important Bible study you can attend in your life, hallelujah, is this week. Tell your neighbor, this week.
This week.
This week in our series, Sharing Jesus Without Fear. That is our series, Sharing Jesus Without Fear. In this series, saints, you will learn how to simply ask a few questions just to see if God is at work in a person's life and how you can, by the help of the Holy Spirit, help that person to make another step in a non-offensive manner toward God. Now, saints, this entire series on sharing Jesus without fear is for us to move from just talking about talking to the lost to actually having compassion in our hearts and actually talking to the lost as Jesus did. Are you interested? Interested? Oh, praise God. You will know in this series how to be obedient. Everybody say obedient. Amen. Obedient to Jesus' command to go and make disciples without being afraid. God did not give this commandment in the Word of God to just a select few, saints.
Amen.
We are all. Everybody say we are all.
We are all
called to be ready to give an account to others for the hope we have in us. Amen.
Amen. One of the things that makes this week's lesson so important is that you will learn how to start in the conversation, how to steer a conversation.
Amen. Amen. And it really is more simple than we could ever dream. I was on the bus this past week, and a young man was telling me about how the death of his mother had just sent him into a tizzy. He had lost his job. He just couldn't get himself together. And so I was able to ask the first question. I said, do you have any spiritual beliefs? And he says, well, I'm not sure. And then I was able to go to the next question. Well, who is Jesus to you? What do you think about Jesus? And he and I went through all of them. And I would be glad to share at Life Sharing a testimony of what happened. It was good, Sandra. It was good. It was just easy to go from one to the next. It was awesome. And so we want everybody just to naturally be able to share the word. Just to be able to share the word. And we've been calling his name every night, and one day he's going to be here. He is going to be here. If not here, he's going to be in someone's church. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But we have to decide how much is it worth for us to make this a priority.
Yeah.
You know, this week during Life Sharing, you can sit back and watch your favorite story, your Law and Order, your CSI, PSI, or BYD. And in 30 minutes or an hour, it's going to be over with.
Yes.
Or you can use that same hour to learn how you can make a difference
in a
person's life that will last
for eternity. Yes.
God didn't save us for us to come to heaven by ourselves. He wants us to bring as many people possible with us.
Thank you, Lord.
How many of you would like for somebody to come up to you in heaven and say, I've been looking for you for the last 2,000 years. Just want to say thank you. I'm here because you took the time to tell me about Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
How many of you know you got to do something now in order to get that testimony later?
Amen.
How many of you know it'll be worth all the rejections you might have ever got or the hurt feelings you might have got when you tried to talk to somebody? That's going to be with you for all eternity.
Hallelujah.
But it won't happen unless we're willing to say, here I am, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
A worker willing to go into the field.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many remember the movie Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner? It was years ago. In that movie, Kevin Costner gets a vision of building a baseball field in the middle of a cornfield. And he barely had enough money to pay for his mortgage on the farm. But then he hears a voice saying, if you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. And he builds this baseball field, and people come from miles and miles around just to sit and to watch in the stands, and then they start paying money to do it.
You know, a lot of times in the church, we fall into this way of thinking, if we just do this, then the unsaved will come knocking and pouring in our doors. If we just add a handicap ramp, if we just remodel the classroom, if we just fix the bathrooms, if we just change the seating, if we just remodel the sanctuary, if we just add this ministry or that ministry, they are going to just come knocking down the doors trying to get in.
Yes.
How many of you know the world already has some nice bathrooms? Already got some handicap access ramps.
Yeah.
Already got some buildings that we can't even touch, no matter how hard we try.
Yeah.
They don't come because of that.
No.
Doing those things are good, but they don't necessarily make a healthy church.
Hallelujah. Amen. Saints, what causes a church to become healthy? What causes a church to grow is that each person in that church who loves the Lord makes a decision that they're going to go forth and impact somebody's life for Jesus Christ by sharing the gospel with that person. It means sometimes hearing the word no. It means sometimes hearing the word get out of my face. Are you crazy? It might mean being rejected. It might mean persevering with a person for a long period of time without giving up. Anybody know something about that, persevering with somebody a long time? It means that we keep on going to other people. We keep on sharing the gospel with them and inviting them to come with us to church.
We learned this past week in life sharing that in sharing Jesus without fear, that witnessing is made up of three things.
Yes.
Living out the Christian life.
Yes.
Sharing the gospel with others.
Yes.
And trusting God for the results. Success is not bringing someone to Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
We do not have to make people accept the Lord.
Mm-mm.
We only provide them with the opportunity.
Yes.
For Jesus says, no one can come to the Father except my Spirit draws them.
Yes, hallelujah. Saints, a healthy church is made up of people who are willing to say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Send me into the harvest, Lord. Send me. You know what, saints? We all get rejected from time to time. Amen. In life, over things that affect us for just a short period of time, and we just get over it. If we don't, somebody tells us, get over it, all right? So why not suffer just a little rejection for the cause of Jesus Christ? You see, it's the doorway to making a difference in the lives of others.
Amen.
Now, God wants to raise up a group of people who've got a passionate heart, a passionate love for God and for the body and for the lost, who are willing to say, yes, Lord, I'll go. I'll go into the harvest field. Yes, I will share the good news with those that you bring on my path, Lord. Yes.
We are now 45 years old.
45 years old. Looking good, y'all, for 45. Yeah. High five your neighbor and say, you're looking good, neighbor. 45. Yeah, you're looking good at 45. Yeah.
And we need to look at the fruit that we are bearing. You see, it's easy for us to confuse activities with being alive. But being alive as a church has very little to do with the kind of music we sing. Being alive means that through our ministry, people are getting saved.
That's right.
Being alive means that lives are being transformed.
That's right.
Being alive means that we are more willing to make sacrifices for God today than we were this time last year. Being alive means I have more compassion for others, and I'm less selfish now than when I was before with what the Lord has blessed me with. Being alive means I'm striving to become more and more like Jesus. Being alive means taking our faith beyond the walls of this building.
Yes. Everybody say our activities. Our activities, saints, should have the goal of leading someone to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Say our activities.
Our activities
should have the goal of leading someone into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Or otherwise, they are simply activities and not real life. Amen. We as a church, saints, will not become all that we can be by simply hoping and dreaming about it. Amen. Amen. We need to develop a strategy to have compassion on those who have been beat up by life, those who have been harassed by life, those who are suffering down at the Justice Center and everywhere else, those who like a sheep without a shepherd. And that's why, saints, it is critical for the leaders of our church to be present for our leaders meeting the third Saturday of October. We want the pastors, we want the lay pastors, we want the elders, we want the deacons. We want the heads of all organizations and the heads of all ministries and choirs to be present at this meeting for us together to discern God's will for us as a church. Amen. Amen. Touch the neighbor next to you and say, see you there, neighbor. Yeah, see you there. See you. See you there. Amen.
Don't forget, God is watching. If you,
amen.
If you
God heard you say that. God heard you say that. Yes, he did.
The next 45 years of ministry that comes out of this place, I can tell you this, it's going to still have Jesus at the center of it.
Thank you, Lord.
But let us add more love and more compassion for those who do not yet know the Savior. Let's give them a higher priority this next 45 years. Let's see our community as the Lord's harvest field.
Thank you, Lord.
That's ripe for harvest. Let us see that if we had more workers to go into the field who would just go, we could become much more that God had called us to be.
Yes.
The reason all that power was given to Jesus was for us to transform lives. And he ended his command there in Matthew with the words, after he had told us to go into all the world, with the words, and surely I am with you always,
surely,
to the end of the age.
Amen, amen. Saints, after 45 years of ministry, are we willing to risk believing that we can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives us the strength? You see, as our denomination goes through its troubles, what a witness it would be for us, saints, to become a strong, healthy, large Presbyterian church right here in Ohio of what Jesus can do for changing the lives and the hearts of people's lives. So let's start with becoming the strongest and healthiest church in the city of Cleveland. How about that, saints? How about that? That Jesus said the harvest is ripe and the labors are few, but we ready. Touch your neighbor and say, we ready.
Amen.
We ready. We ready. Amen. We ready. We ready. We ready.
You may say we've never been larger than 236 members at one time. How many of you know how many Jesus had to work with to start?
Amen.
12.
That's right.
And one of them was messed up.
Very.
We got 200.
Yes.
200 ought to be enough to start to bring in the harvest.
Praise God.
You may say, but if you reach that goal of trying to become one of the, I want to say, the largest Presbyterian church in the state of Ohio.
All right.
What happens if we don't reach it? Is it possible for us to fail? How many of you know it most certainly is? Some of y'all didn't know that? Tell them. It is possible to fail.
It's possible. It's possible.
But you know something? The longer we pastor this church, the more aware we are of our own inadequacies and shortcomings in building a great church for God. Matter of fact, we have come to the conclusion that we cannot build a great church, but we know a God who can.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Church.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord. And saints, God is not nearly as interested in our failure as God is in coming into our hearts and transforming us and giving us that desire to go out and to do his will. That his will, plan, purpose be accomplished in and through our lives. Do you know what our failure would look like, saints, if we were to give God our best? Well, in the midst of our failure, it means somebody is going to get saved. Hallelujah. Amen. It means that somebody is going to get set free. Somebody is going to find hope. Somebody is going to know that there is a better way of living than the way they are living right now.
Amen.
Somebody is going to grow in Jesus Christ. And somebody is going to say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for a group of people who had the vision to come out and to witness and to share your good news that I might have life. Hallelujah. To share a vision greater than themselves. Praise God. Can somebody say, make it so, Lord? Make it so, Lord. Oh, make it so. Right here, Lord, make it so.
Make it so.
Make it so.
You know, one day Jesus came walking to the disciples during the night out on the water. Storm was raging. The disciples saw him and like us. They was as scared as they could be. They thought they had seen a ghost. And Jesus says, "It is I, be not afraid." And Peter said, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of that boat,
yes,
and started walking on the water. And he did pretty good until he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. Now, the others in the boat remembered when Peter started to sink. But Peter remembered what it was like to get out of the boat,
yes,
and walk on the water.
Yes.
Which feeling would you rather have for yourself? A feeling of launching out in an adventure with God, or a feeling of just sitting in the boat being scared, but knowing there was 10 other scared people with you? 45 years ago, our charter members got out of the boat and walked toward
Jesus.
Thank
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
We still have among us, and I want y'all to stand. Eileen Moffitt, where you at, Eileen?
Praise God. Praise God, Miss Moffitt.
And
praise
Moore.
God.
Where are you, Ann?
Miss Moore.
Miss Moore.
Praise God, Miss Moore.
And Moore.
We praise God for
Lily
you,
Lily Jackson.
Hallelujah.
Lily Jackson.
Lily, hallelujah.
Sarah Williams.
Hallelujah. Sarah, hallelujah.
And Juanita McGowan.
Yes.
Juanita is in the hospital today and can't be with us, but her daughter will be representing,
yes,
her.
But she will be discharged tomorrow. She was disappointed. Yes.
Amen. Let's give these charter members.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise
because
God
if it
for
hadn't
you.
Been for them,
praise God for you.
We wouldn't
praise
be here
God
today.
For you.
Amen.
Praise
you may
God
be
for you. Praise God for you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Saints, today we face a new challenge.
Saints, there is a fierce storm out there. How many noticed on the news, in the paper, in the shootings? Oh, there's a fierce storm out in our community. And the reality is that most of us in our churches, we are afraid to get out and to go walking out there. But the Lord says, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Come with me. Saints, let us decide to be the church that says, Lord, if it's you that's calling, oh, call us to come, Lord. Call us to come. And we will say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. Oh, when your spirit speaks to us with our full hearts, we will agree. Oh, just call us, Lord. So Jesus is already saying, come. Touch your neighbor and say, Jesus already said, come. He already said, come. He already said, come. So we don't have to stay in the boat. Where it's safe, saints, with our fear. Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Amen. What's the challenge before us? The challenge is to become overcomers for Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes,
to make
yes.
a difference
make
in
us
the lives of others.
Make us overcomers.
Let's give God our time during yes. this Share Jesus Without Fear.
Yes.
To see what we can do to make a difference in other people's lives.
Thank you, Lord.
Your church needs you more than ever to join in participating
yes,
in the harvest that is going to come.
Yes, we do.
We ask, church, as we venture in this next 45 years,
please,
can we count on you? Are you with us? Are we going to march forth together, to become all that we can be in Christ?
Yes.
If you're willing to say, count me in, just kind of wave your hand so
hallelujah.
You know who to call on.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And amen.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray.
Let us pray.
Hallelujah.